Welcome to Youngstown Studios Show. We do recover. Today I have the pleasure of introducing someone who's part of my support group and part of my group, period. Yes. Sean John. This is Sean John.
You can turn it on your phone.
Thank you, sir. Oh, it's on my phone.
Yep. Yes. Little technical difficulties.
My man, thanks for having me.
Yes, for sure. So we're going to go dive right in. This is going to be an interesting conversation for sure. So I don't have your tissue over there, but we'll get you some, I'm sure.
Need some today.
Yeah, so come on now. We'll share that pain a little bit. But so, Sean, like, what started in your addiction? Like, when did you realize you had a problem?
I think for myself was when I realized that, like, I couldn't function. Like, there was, like, anything that I had to do between, like, taking a shower, brushing my teeth, yeah, like, anything, like, could not be done without, like, having that fix. Like, and
what was your fix?
It was heroin or more of anything. Yeah. You know, anything that kind of got me outside of myself for a minute. You know, it really didn't discriminate too much.
Right. And how long were you suffering from your disease?
I started using when I was probably about 13. I got clean when I was 25,
yeah,
somewhere around there. Yeah.
And how long you been clean now?
I'll be 8 years this year.
November 2nd. Yes. We do recover.
We do.
How about that? That's awesome. Yeah. So you realized you had a problem. I mean, obviously, just by not being able to do daily things. Like, right. I remember looking out the window of a trap house one time, watching people go to work at 7 o'clock every morning. It was like, how do they do this? Right. You know what I mean? So, like, what was your, like, awakening moment where, like, listen, I need help?
It's so funny you say that, because, like, I remember, like, I would be laying on the couch dope sick at my grandma's house, like, every morning. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would scroll through Facebook and I would see my friends, like, going on vacations and, like, doing all these things that, like, I never imagined possible. You know what I mean? And then there were people that, like, I used with that would get clean and they would get families. And I'm like, man, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, one day being like, maybe if I stop using drugs, like,
yeah,
maybe. You know what I mean? But, it was at that point, it was still a lot of fear. I couldn't imagine my life without it, you know. So we just kept on riding that until the wheels fell off, you know.
No, when the wheels fell off. Oh. I mean, were you still grinding on the concrete with them, you know, with them Dubs without no tires on it?
Yes, we rode for a little while on rims.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just like any year in my life, I push it to the limit until there is no more energy. And then it got to the point where I just had no more energy.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it anymore. And
what did it take you going to jail? Did you turn yourself into rehab? What was your, like, defining moment?
I like to call myself a very clever recovery.
I never
had to do no time.
Whoa.
You know? But it came to a point where, like, I was tired of, you know, the looks and the defeat in my family, you know, to know that physically, like, I was starting to die. And I didn't want that to be my legacy, that, you know, a hopeless dope fiend. Like, I couldn't do it, you know. And like I said, seeing everybody, there was people that I had seen that I had used with that were getting clean, that were clean in, like, multiple years. My father was in recovery. Rest his heart, he passed with 29 years clean. So I knew that it was possible, you know, but I just didn't really know what to do. Like,
Now you talk about your father passing away. Now was he able to see you clean, to see you start your journey?
Yes, my father passed when I had about 70 days clean.
Okay.
And it was probably the hardest thing that I ever got to do, ever. Like, at that time, was the hardest thing. I'm grateful that he did get to see me before he passed. And it was pretty cool, like, for a little while there, getting to, like, you know, I remember calling him and being like, Dad, I just worked the first step.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, yeah. And he always used to tell me I was powerless, you're powerless. He was like, you get it now? And I'm like, yeah. So it was really cool to, you know, have those moments and kind of be able to, like, to get on a recovery level with him for once, instead of him just kind of spitting, like, you're powerless or you need to surrender at me, which at that point, I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you got to be able to work, like, a 12-step program and be able to get into that and do that. It's awesome. And actually make your dad a little proud before he passed. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now you live in Newcastle?
Yes. Newcastle, PA. Newcastle. Good old Lawrence County.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So now we talk about you getting clean and you didn't. Now, did you go to rehab?
I went to treatment a couple times. The last time I went to treatment, I went to inpatient. I did, I think it was around 20 some days I stayed. And I went and I just knew that at this point, like, I had to do something different.
Because
I had continued to do my way and my will and a lot of my whole life, you know, and it wasn't working.
Right.
So I had to open myself to the possibility to do something different.
Yeah.
And once I was able to do that, you know, things kind of just started to move and shake all at the same time. Yeah. And it's here we are.
You know, get something you never had. You got to do something you never done.
I just told someone nothing changes, man. And still, like, I have to continuously change in order to, like, keep the maintenance of my recovery. Because if I don't, like, I always said, if you're not progressing, you're going backwards. Yeah. So it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. So it took you a couple times going to rehab.
Yes.
Now, after your 28 days, you did in rehab. What did you do after that?
So, it's crazy. Last time I went to the Drug and Alcohol Commission, which now I work at, and I told them, like, hey, and they were like, you're gonna do whatever we say you got to do. And they set me up with outpatient. They set me up with a CRS, a recovery coach. And they told me I was going to go to meetings and I was going to do these things. And I was like, all right, you know, and I'm grateful for my recovery coach at the beginning because he taught me some accountability, you know, and it kind of structured my recovery at first, you know, something I still today, like when I say I'm going to do something, I do it, you know, I show up when I'm supposed to be accountable. And that was huge for me because I had no accountability. I could do whatever I wanted. So having that early in and having like an unconditional type of support and love, like we were good. You know what I mean? That was essential for me.
How was it for you coming in new to like these different programs and the things we go to in order to recover? How was it for you like building the support group?
Yeah.
Cause we talk about support groups, like the most important thing.
So essential. I had been in and out of rooms, the 12-step meetings for years, in and out. And I had formed relationships with people. And Newcastle is a small area, so like there were people there that like I knew from like using with in the streets and running around high school, you know. Yeah. But I was fortunate enough to like get around some like people who were like working programs and people who were really serious and about their recovery, that kind of took me under their wing and showed me the way.
Yeah.
You know, still to this day, I base myself, if we're not about the same thing and moving in the same direction, we don't really got nothing for each other.
Yeah.
You know, you are who you surround yourself with.
That's it.
I tell people all the time, you surround yourself with people who fellowship and just attend 12-step meetings, you're going to fellowship and attend 12-step meetings.
Yeah.
You surround yourself with people who work steps and recover, you'll recover.
Yeah. You know, come on.
That's it.
We got our first caller. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Hey, caller. Hello, caller. I don't know. Mario. We got a caller on here. I can't, for some reason, they're.
Hello, caller.
Go ahead and click talk.
Yep.
Allison.
Allison Hill's calling it. Watch out. It's not letting us answer. Allison, if you could call back. If you could call back, if you're still on the line, I believe you need to call back because it's frozen up a little bit.
Y'all hung up on me.
Yeah, we she didn't come to help co-host tonight, so we went ahead and.
That's the first time that's happened.
All right, while we deal with that.
Yeah.
So, like, so we talk about the support group. We talk about, you know, you started to build that support group and started the recovery process, right?
Yes.
How important would you say, like, being held accountable is in your support group? Get around people who are going to actually tell you what's up instead of just be friends and buddies with you.
Right. There's been many times where I've always been told, like, an honest sharing is an antidote to the disease thinking, okay? Mm. So, you know, if I got to be honest with my support group first so they could be honest with me.
Yeah.
And, like, I know where to go when I need an answer that I want to hear.
Yeah.
And I know where to go where I need an answer that I need to hear.
Yeah.
You know, so I have those people in my life. And I flock to the ones that tell me what I want to hear, not when I want to hear, because that's kind of what you know, keeps me structured, you know, keep me in the boundaries, because I've wandered off sometimes in the Sean land.
Yeah.
So come on. It gets messy.
You got yourself back in that driver's seat.
Yeah. Yeah. You take the wheel back here and there, and then you gotta, you know, reach out to the support group, because, you know, a solid support group it's beyond essential at this point. Even recently with things that are going on in my life, and we'll get to that, like without my support group, like I wouldn't be the man or be sitting here today without having people. So do you need me to press a button and answer?
We got a caller again.
Let's give it a try. Could you hear us?
Okay.
Hi, husband.
Oh, hi, caller. Hi, Allison, wife.
Allison, wife.
What do you got for us today?
Hi, Allison.
Hey, I love this. I wanted to know, what do you think the effects of this pandemic, the shutdown, isolation has had on recovering addicts right now?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It is something that has affected the recovery community, like, in the most dramatic way. I've been saying it to people every chance I get, that recovery has taken a new face. Yeah. You know, we're used to coming together and having this bond of like unity and love and support as one, being forced apart. There was like new techniques that you had to find in order to continue to like have that love and that companionship and that unity, like, but with distance. Yeah. But I, unfortunately, like through the last year, I was trying to do a count, because I was like, I know this is going to come up, of how many people I've buried in the last year. And like, I couldn't even count it.
Yeah.
Like, it's over 15 to 20 people that have passed, because it's been hard for people to get out and recover and like want to actually be able to do it. People not knowing if meetings are open, people not knowing if other resources are available, leave them, you know, kind of stranded, you know. So we do what we do best in those situations.
Isolate. You know? Isolate. And you're being forced to isolate.
Yeah, you're like, forced to sit at home, like, and do nothing. It was tough.
What do you think people should do? What do you think they should do?
Getting clean right now. It's tough. Like, I'm grateful for the foundation I had and like the beginning of it, pre-pandemic, obviously. But getting clean now is, I would reach out to the resources and find out, like, are meetings open? Like, what meetings are open? I know that there are websites, and even at my work, Drug and Alcohol Commission, like, we have a list of all the meetings that are up and running. Yeah. So, like, reaching out to your local drug and alcohol commissions and things to find out, like, what's going on. Like, unfortunately, like, if you don't know, the only way to find out is to open your mouth and ask. Right. So,
and you can go on Facebook. Yeah. You type it in the search bar. Yeah. You can look up. I mean, there's so many resources to find out.
AA.org, yeah. You know, whatever your preference is. There's options out there, and that people just don't know. Still, I have people go, are meetings open? I'm like, at this point, like, all the meetings are wide open for as far as I know. You might catch one or two that aren't, but they're up and moving. But that's a start, you know, trying to, you know, link into those resources that are there, because they're there. You just got to find them.
Thanks, Allison, for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Y'all doing great. Yeah. Love you.
Bye. Love you, wife.
Love you too, Allison. Bye.
How was that? So how was that for you, the Zoom meetings? Ugh. Yeah, come on. Let's hear about that.
I wasn't a Zoom meeting guy. At first, I was doing two meetings a day. You know what I mean? I was sitting in the morning and night. My daughter would be climbing all over me trying to get in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need that vibe. I'm an energy guy. I need like contact, and it was tough. So unfortunately, we broke some rules, and you know, and I started having like grilling chills at my house. There's a halfway house right down the street from my house, and I was like, these guys are locked in a house doing nothing for hours, you know. So I would like do grilling chills, and I'd have sponsees come up and guys come from out of town, bring their kids, and I'd turn my backyard into like a play zone with a pool and all this stuff, just so that there was like a safe place where we could come together, you know, because I needed it. I'm not going to lie. Sure. And I can't even say it for anybody else but myself at that point, because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we were coming over last summer, and there was being like, man, are we allowed to see people in one area, at least for outside?
25, 30 people. Right. My neighbor's going to call the cops.
We try to social distance.
Could you imagine? I'm like, we were just trying to recover.
And I know it's like hard now, because like, so like if an addict is like calling into rehabs now, they're like requiring you to have a negative COVID test within like the last 4 days, and it's like a lot more loops or hoops you get to jump through in order to get through.
Yeah.
But it's still not impossible by no means. Yeah. I still 100% encourage people to reach out. You know, COVID tests, they can do them for free. They're doing 24-hour COVID tests now, Walgreens, CVS, all those places. But it was, it's just a little more.
It's just a little bit more effort.
A little more effort. Yeah, that's it.
And the thing is, it's like, at that point, like, I tell people, like, what are you willing to do to stay clean? And at the point when I was newly getting clean, like, nothing would stop me. I need to do whatever I need to do to save my life. And if that takes, like, that one more call or that one more little effort, like, it's worth it. Like, it's, it'll be worth it eventually.
Yeah, let's talk about, so your life now that you got clean. I mean, I know you have a beautiful little daughter. Let's talk about her a little bit.
My little Amira, she's 3 and a half. She's going on 13.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
She has daddy wrapped around her finger. You know, she's beautiful. She's literally like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I can say that, like, I never imagined being a father. I can't say that I wanted kids necessarily, but like, she has been like my greatest blessing since I got clean and has changed me into this man that like I never thought would ever possibly be. And being a single father, you know, yes, a single father.
Yeah, you're not lady. She's out there, a single father. Come on,
drop that.
Yeah, you can call in at 330-595-1600. Hey, listen, guys, real quick. I encourage you guys to call in 330-595-1600. We have $200 in the safe and a pair of AirPods. If you guess the 3-digit code, you will receive that. So, I mean, if I could call in, I would. I'm going to wait until the next show and call in and throw in my digits. But yeah, call in for that or call in for any questions concerning anything about recovery. If you need to know anything, if you think someone else out there needs to hear about something, we'll try our best to answer these questions as best as possible. So we're talking about being, you know, being a father. So like, I've had this question now that I'm a father.
Congratulations.
You know, are you going to let your kid know about your addictions?
Absolutely. My daughter, I've been taking her to meetings since she was probably 3 months old.
Yeah.
At this point now she circles up and prays with us. Her family is my family. She talks about, you know, Uncle Denny and Jordan and Aunt Allie and, you know, soon little Jedi. I'm sure she'll be chasing him around.
Yeah, come on.
you know, but they're like her family. And honestly, like I said, like my dad was in recovery and I felt like I wish I would have known more about his addiction. You know, I always knew that, like, don't do drugs, but I didn't know what drugs could really do to you.
Right.
You know, not saying I could have changed anything, but I feel like education and knowledge is power, you know, and it gives you the ability to make better choices. And I might have made better choices if I would have known about my dad's addiction. But, you know, that's here nor there. But that definitely, you know, I plan on, you know, she'll be there.
Yeah.
And she has her little friends and Dad, are we going to a meeting?
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. Like, some days she ain't hearing it and she runs away. But
yeah. You know. I'll just say, my son just came to the first meeting with me last week and it was awesome. You know, it's cool.
It's great to have him there. There's a no touching policy. Don't touch my kids.
Yeah. Come on now.
You know what I mean? But
we got another caller. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Who is this?
I'm great. My name is Patty. I'm calling from Boardman.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Patty.
From Boardman. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. How are you guys?
Very good. Very good.
Great.
What you got for us?
So I was calling with a question and with a guess for the 3-code number.
Okay. Come on. Question first.
Okay, so my question is, do you guys ever do, like, public speaking events in the community?
I have. My county, I sit on a recovery coalition that we do like events for like Paint the Town Silver, which is International Overdose Awareness Day and things like that to just kind of bring awareness to the community. I've done things like that.
Yes, I do as well. Anytime I get to share my experience, strength, and hope that would help anybody in this field or in other different fields that I know about, I'm more than willing to do that. What did you have in mind?
My husband and I actually run a nonprofit in Farrell, PA, which is close to Youngstown, but we work with a lot of families in recovery. And we're always looking for people to come in and do presentations for us.
Yes.
So I didn't know if that was something that...
Yes, for sure. You could, are you on Facebook right now? Is that how you're watching us?
Yes.
Okay. If you could drop or send me a private message, I'll answer you back after the show, and we could set up that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
All right. What's your three-digit code?
395.
No, I am so sorry,
Patty. I tried.
We tried. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. And I'll, yep, looking forward for your message.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, so we talk about being just like that, you know, being willing. You know, sometimes you don't want to, like, you know, being going to speak and doing these different events and stuff like that. And I know it's sometimes you don't want to, but you never know who you could help with your story.
Exactly.
Right?
That's one thing. Like, I attend an anonymous program, but I know that my recovery isn't anonymous, you know.
Right.
And by being vocal and available, the people that I've been able to like contact and like spread a message of hope across very many different areas, you know, is always a bonus. The more people that are contacted, the more education that is spread, and the more knowledge that is obtained, the better people can survive this. Because, like I said, a lot of people don't know the resources and things, or even how to obtain, you know, a life being clean and sober.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. So, what do you do now? Today, now that you're clean and sober, what do you do? I mean, I know what you do today, but let's share that a little bit.
There's a couple different things that I do. I stay connected with a support group. Absolutely. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning. I literally start recovering from the time my alarm goes off in the morning to the time I lay my eyes down. It's my lifestyle at this point.
Yeah.
I attend 12-step meetings. I work steps. You know, I do service work. I help other people that are in need and trying to, you know, fight the fight.
And then what is your occupation today?
I'm a certified recovery specialist
at
Lawrence County Drug and Alcohol. Like I got said early in, like, the guy that, shout out to Charlie, by the way, if he's listening, the guy that was early in that like taught me that accountability, like, he was such like this pillar in my recovery that I also wanted to be like him. So now like he's my coworker, and like I do what he did for me, you know, and it truly has come full circle.
Yeah, you just talk about surrounding yourself around people you want to be like, aspire to be like, and you'll be like them.
I wanted to be like him so bad. He was just the coolest guy. He has Harleys and all types of things, you know. So I was like, that's my dude.
That's awesome. We got a question from Allison, of course. Ask Sean to tell you the story about his daughter that be careful what you pray for.
I see that.
Let's do this.
So I was like in the middle of working like a 6 and a 7 step, and I was like trying to remove all these defects and like get closer to my higher power. I was turning 30. I was having a midlife crisis. I felt like, so like I was on this quest, and I kept just praying. I was like, God, like, I need you to like let me become the man that you intended me to be. You know what I mean? Like, put me in position to like to be less of myself and more of you. You know, I was trying to like get closer to that, my build that relationship.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks later, I found out I was expecting the beautiful Amira.
Yeah.
And I thought my world was coming to an end. And I, you know, I did all types of crazy stuff. Bought a brand new car. Thanks, Allison.
Yeah.
So I did all those things. And now, like months later, even years down the road, like I realized, like, you know, that little girl was put in my life, probably not for her, but like to save me. You know, and make me allow me to grow into this man that I was supposed to be, because I didn't realize how selfish I was until I had a child.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize little things that like needed to change, you know, about myself until it's no longer about me. It's about her at all times. Like when Amir's in town or it's my day, everything shuts down.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about her. Like,
they say family stands for forget about me. Yeah. I love you.
Yes.
So, and that's what it is about a kid. I mean, it's unconditional love, even when you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, but I'm learning.
It changes everything. And it's literally like the greatest experience that, you know, I've ever experienced, and without recovery involved in that and in my life, like, I wouldn't be able to be the father that I am. Like, right. I had a great father, you know, he raised me to the best of his ability. That's a whole nother story, but you know, I had men in my life that were recovering that showed me how to be a father.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't tell me how to be a father. They showed me with their actions. And I used to watch men come to meetings with their diaper bags and like their snacks and change diapers. And I was like, it gave me hope that like I could do that,
right.
You know? So when I was blessed with mine, I knew what I could do. Like, I knew what to do. And it just kind of followed in their footsteps. And still, when I have questions, I reach out to the men or the women in my life who are moms and dads that like I aspire to be like.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm doing half the time.
Yeah.
So I just have to reach out to them and, you know, get their support, and it's there. I tell people all the time, like, everything kind of goes full circle around here, and it's been pretty cool. Yeah.
And now, I mean, not to hit the touchy subjects and stuff like this, but like, so like, you know, once we get clean, everybody thinks that, like, you know, once you get clean, life's going to be so great. No problems, you know. Right. I'm not going to have any, you know what I mean? Nothing's going to bring me down.
Right.
But we still do struggle with, you know, life on life's terms and losses of family members. And I know you just had a big loss this week. Mm. And share us a little bit about what happened this week.
The great thing about recovery, like you said life on life's terms.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You never know kind of what life is going to throw at you. And in our literature, it says, like, we have the inability to live life on life's terms.
Yeah.
Due to application of this program, like, and the tools and the steps and the support group and the relationship with the higher power, it gives me the ability to, like, make it through these events clean.
Come on.
And it's something that has not been easy, you know. Here they go. Here goes the tears. The last, you know, week, I had to bury my grandmother yesterday. And, the woman who raised me, the woman that taught me all these things that, like, I will carry for the rest of my life and introduce to my daughter, has been very hard.
Yeah.
You know, on top of, like, life and other things. And, you know, it's been rough. But I remain grateful for, like, my program and, like, my foundation that, like, taught me, like, early in, like, when I lost my father. You know, when I buried sponsees and friends and all these, that, like, no matter how hard it gets, we don't use no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, you stay in position. I tell people all the time during hard times, because, like, I share honestly at any point, and I was told you can't save your face and your butt at the same time.
Mm.
So, you know, I share about these feelings, and I do whatever I have to do to fight to get another day clean.
Yeah.
You know, and it has been, I feel like my life has been shaken up in an hourglass, you know, this week. But that just goes into, like, the support group, man, and that relationship with God. I still don't know what's going on. But I know that, like, my higher power is working it out.
Yeah.
You know, he has a plan, and things might not feel good or be too comfortable, but, like, in the end, like, they always work out.
Yeah.
And it'll be okay. It's tough. I tell people all the time, especially in early recovery, like, do what you got to do to, like, make sure you have a foundation.
Yeah.
Because, like, that pink cloud is going to come from underneath you one day, and you're going to need something to stand on when the wind blows. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's essential to have, like, a solid foundation and people around you that can hold you down. Yesterday, one of my best friends drove in from 2 hours from Uniontown, and he did not leave my side until I went to sleep last night.
So,
you know, that's recovery.
Yeah.
You know, that's a support group member that are willing to go, like, to any length to make sure you have that love and support. And I had that yesterday. You know, as I said goodbye to one of the most important women in my life. And I can't even say it enough how grateful I am.
Yeah, I could just imagine how proud she was of you to watch this journey of your almost 8 years clean, or 8 years clean.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was tough, man. I try to pull the positives out of every situation. And I try to look at things from a different perspective today. 8 years ago in June, it would be, I was at my grandfather's funeral at that same church with the same family. You know, and I was so high that, like, my family was more concerned about me than, like, the funeral. I weighed 150 pounds at that funeral. I couldn't keep my head up. it was terrible. And today, you know, I had a couple moments to be present and like take all, and it was really a cool experience. And I'm happy that happened, because I was like, wow, last time, because when I showed up to my grandfather's funeral, it was a moment, and it was definitely like a spiritual awakening for me. My family prayed on me, and my whole family prayed on me in that parking lot.
Yeah.
And there was something magical that happened that day.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I always tell people, that's where my journey to recovery started, was with that moment, you know.
And then you looked out 8 years later, and you're walking through that parking
lot. Here I am, walking through the same parking
God
lot.
God did something.
Yeah, something Prayers, happened.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool, man. And like I said, like I'm all week, like the only things that I could say is like, I'm really grateful for my program. I'm really grateful for my higher power, because without those, like I would never be able to survive. Like I wouldn't be getting through this. And it hurts. It hurts beyond measures. And I've felt pain to the tips of my toes the last week, and wanted to scream, and I've been crying and everything. But most importantly, and I just haven't used, and like, I refuse to use, like no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, and people like, oh, I'm not going to, well, when life really kicks you in the stomach, like, what you going to do?
Right.
You know? And I'm just really grateful, man. That's all that I can't say it enough. Like, it's just really grateful. Gratitude is huge right now.
We got another question. It's, what are your three best tools to stay in position today?
The tools that helped me stay clean was be a support group.
Yeah.
Prayer. Mm. And I attend meetings regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I continue to do the maintenance that I did when I was first getting clean as I do now.
Yeah.
I don't forget. I know I've seen a lot of people, I've buried a few of them this year, that get away from that early recovery, meetings regularly, prayers, step work, support group, contact, service work, and they don't stay, and that scares me.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go nowhere.
Just seeing some people that just recently with like, you know,
multiple years.
I mean, double your time. Yeah. Go back out. Like, you know what I mean? It kind of keeps you on your toes and makes us really focus, because like it scares me. It scares me to death.
It really does.
You know, especially working in the recovery field like you do. I mean, I'm scared to death.
Right.
I mean,
the disease definitely does not discriminate, and it never stops.
Right.
It says it can be put in remission.
Right. Be arrested.
But it be arrested is the word. Sorry, I don't know all the literature. So.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always there.
Yeah.
And whenever I think that it's at bay, it will come at me in a different area.
Right.
I just left the mall. I just went and bought a pair of shoes.
No, come on.
Come on, bro.
Sure.
That's the last thing I need today. But I knew what was going to make me feel better today. You know what I mean? Instead of, you know, the dope man, I called Finish Line. All right. But that's another story. But, you know, it just always comes. But I just stay, you know, on my toes. I know that a lot of people say, like, oh, the disease is out doing push-ups in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Nah, that monkey's on my back.
Yeah.
You know, he might be taking a cat nap for another minute, but, like, he's trying to figure out what way he can come at me. And he will get me. Just when I think, oh, I'm cool in that area, I ain't bought no shoes in a while.
Right.
There you go.
What do you say about some people, we talk about recovery, and in order to recovery, it's about working on your mind, your body, and your spirit.
Right.
What's one thing in each one of those fields that you work on every day?
Mind, body, and spirit. Oof. I wish I could say that like I did all those things all the time, but I know when I get away from them and the effects that they play. I know when I feed my spirit with not good things and physical items, I feel the void never goes away. But when I do that with like spiritual things and like service work and prayer and meditation and those things, like I'm a lot better when I'm eating healthy and I'm going to the gym.
Yeah, come on now. You know, I see the posts, bro.
Yeah,
I ain't see no videos of you working out yet.
You ain't
but
seen,
I see the videos of you saying you're there and checking in.
Yeah, I was there. You know,
I'm waiting to see the ones of you. You know what I mean?
We had to take a little break, you know, but we going back. I got some health issues that I, you know, I need to get right. And they say, like, this program, you practice in all of our affairs.
Yeah.
And I've been able to quit smoking in this process.
Yeah.
You know.
Come on.
3 years clean, no cigarettes.
Congrats.
So it's just like, now if I could put down the sugar in the bread,
yeah,
like, I'd be a whole new man, you know. But, like, you know, when the pain gets great enough,
yeah,
you know, I'll let it down. But right now we're just going to keep, you know, keep it on. But we're working on it. We're making progress. You know, yeah. Never perfection, but we're making little baby steps.
That's it. So now we go through this process, and you have your support group. You have, you know, your family. I mean, what you have left of your family. Now, does your whole family think like your mom and your grandma? Are they all supportive of you?
Yes, I have a really supportive family to a certain extent. You know, they've been. I want to say, like, on their toes the last couple weeks, maybe last week or so, a couple days, and, like, constantly checking on them, make sure I'm okay. But I've just been trying to just, like, reassure them that, like, you know, I for me, the last week, I've stayed strong in front of my family, you know what I mean, my daughter, and I've been able to, like, hold them down. But when the second I can get away, I kind of do what I got to do for my maintenance, you know, and I have my tears and my breakdown, you know, but that's what I do. But you know, you'll have the family members that want to throw your past in your face. And, like, you know, death is always a very ugly thing that brings out ugly in people.
Yeah.
But
how does it affect you? Like, it's throwing you or, you know, saying, hey, you're an addict, or hey, you're this. When now that you're clean, right?
Right.
And you're doing the right thing. And you still get those some people that throw those negative and those nasty comments at you. How do you react over that? We talk about principles before personalities.
Right.
So, go ahead.
One thing, I mean, there's been situations this week, and I wanted to, you know, act out of character many, many times.
Yeah.
And I have people calling me like, Sean, stop.
Just stop.
Just stop.
Just stop.
You know? And I'm like, what? And they're like, Sean, cut out. And, you know, I was able to, like, retreat and kind of, and really take an inventory of, like, what I was trying to do. Another thing that I have been consistent with the last couple of days is, like, I'm only in control of Sean's program.
Yeah.
I'm not in control of somebody who doesn't have one or even know what one is. You know, I have principles that I stand on to make me better.
Yeah.
That doesn't say they're going to make everybody else better. So, you just kind of have to take a step back sometimes and allow people to be where they're at.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't, I don't like that. Cause as a man, you know what I mean?
Right. Step up to the plate.
Show you some, you know, but you know, my program teaches me different. And, another thing that's been consistent is, like, I've experienced lots of diversity throughout this process in recovery, and lots of, like, you know, people have disagreements or fallouts or whatever the case is, and you have haters and you have any type of something, always. But when I stand on my principles and I stand on my program, like, I grow and I become a stronger person. And a lot of those people have not grown or continued their process, you know. Stay in position.
Let's go. Douglas James made a quote on here. He said, quit trying to be understood and start to try to understand.
Ooh.
That's good.
Joe, it's so funny. Like, I've got to a point where I don't care if people understand me. Like, I've always, like, I'm real cautious sometimes about, like, my words or what I express, you know. But today, as long as, like, I feel comfortable with myself and the people around me understand, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what everybody else thinks about something nowadays, you know?
We have 5 minutes left. We have time for another caller, 330-595-1600. If you want to call in for the 3-digit code in the safe, if you have any questions for us, feel free. Sean, do you have any questions on your watch party you want to answer?
I don't see any questions on there. I want to know.
Shout outs.
I don't really. You know, I just, one thing for certain is a shout out to the support group this week, man.
Yeah.
The people who have, you know, marched and Allison, how do you stay grateful and supported me? I couldn't be here without you. And how do I stay grateful? I don't forget where I came from.
Oh, come on.
I don't forget about the nights of being dope sick and having nothing, you know. I will never forget those things. So that's what kind of keeps me grateful. And it's hard sometimes to, like, look at the picture while you're standing in it.
Right.
But, like, being able to step out and, like, look at, like, how good things really are and, like, be appreciative for what you do have. Shout out to Malia, by the way.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's go ahead and hit this caller and see what we got. Hey, caller, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Teddy.
Oh, Teddy, how you doing, brother? What you got for us today?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Not much, man. I was just watching. I caught the end of the show, and it seemed like a pretty good topic today. I wish I would have seen the whole thing.
Well, you can always go back and rewatch. What kind of question you got for us today, Teddy?
Wow, I just thought you threw me up. Wow.
You got a three-digit.
I just totally had a brain fart.
You got a three-digit code for us.
714?
714. No, sir, it is not. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I'll come up with a better question next week.
All right, Teddy. Take care, buddy.
I love you, man. Love you too. Guys.
Yeah, thanks, you guys, bro. Have a good one. There was one thing Allison said real quick. Why is it important to reach out? You know, letting people know where you're at.
Yeah.
And, like, being able to get that support. I told my mother, actually, this week. I said, if you tell people that you need help, they'll be there for you.
Yeah.
You know? If I don't speak up, nobody knows I'm suffering.
It takes a call to get a call sometimes.
Exactly.
And it's the bottom line. And we talk about being in our disease and, like, oh, no one wants to talk to me. No one wants to, because we're disappearing for so long and we don't reach out, but we want everyone to reach out to us.
Yes.
And that goes the same, you know, clean or not, yeah, that applies.
Absolutely.
Bottom line.
Yes. In order to be a friend, you got to have a friend. In order to have a friend, you got to be a friend.
Right.
You know, I tell people that all the time. They're like, how do I build a support group? Like, how do I get these people in my life? Like, I show up for my support group.
Yeah.
Like, Jed said, what you doing tomorrow at 5 o'clock? I said, right. What you want? Where are we going?
What would you say to someone out there? We have time for a few more questions. What would you say to someone out there that would ask, where do I go to get a support group?
Oh, man, a support, whether it be church, whether it be 12-step meetings, whether it be reaching out to your, you know, drug and alcohol commission and get a recovery coach. Like, there's support out there, the people who will genuinely love and care about you until you love and care about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of point you in the right direction to become the person that, like, you're intended to be. You know, never give up.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I say is, like, to people is, you know, once you get in the boxing ring, sometimes you might get knocked down a couple of times, but you always get back.
Always
up.
Get back, yeah.
Always. And it works, man. It's possible. I wish there was, like, this magic bottle of potion or something that, like, I could just spread throughout the world and everybody would stay clean forever, you know.
But that's not the case.
It's not the case, you know.
Definitely not the case.
I tell people, give yourself the shot. Give yourself the opportunity to, like, live a life that you never thought possible, because, like, I do it every day.
That's it.
Yeah.
What's up, Kenny? How you doing out there? Allison, we got a bunch of people I want to shout out to. Thanks, guys, for watching in here. What would you say, give you one more question, what would you say to someone who's out there sick and suffering right now? Someone that may be watching this show or is going to watch the show after replays, and they don't know the first step to do anything. They don't have anything. They're out there. You know how it is.
Right.
What would you say to that person?
Get help first. Reach out.
Out to who?
Reach out. There's every county, as far as I know, has a drug and alcohol. Google it. You know, the internet is power. Even hospitals nowadays, like, there's a peer specialist at the hospital in Newcastle that, like, go there and you say you want help, like, they'll make sure you get help, you know, and they'll point you in the right direction. There are people out there that will help you, you know, as long as you reach out.
Yeah.
And, like, attempt to do it. And, you know, I always tell my Facebook and my line is always open to anybody.
Yeah.
So
send private messages, here. If you need help, like Sean's saying, just reach out. Right. It takes 2 seconds to reach out to either one of us, or you can Google. There's so many different avenues these days for help. Your local hospital, you know, the Drug and Alcohol Commission. Right. Just reach out. Google's a big one. Just go on there and type anything you want, and you'll get the number.
It'll come up. And there's lots of endless resources that are like even in position to help people after they get clean. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's, I know programs that help people get houses and cars and jobs and clothes for jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, what's up? Like,
right. Come on.
You know, I need a house.
I wish I knew all this.
Yeah. Clean first time, I would have been clean a long time ago.
Right.
But yeah, it's there. You just have to reach out. And like, just, you know, give yourself a shot. I used to ask all the time, like I hear people go like, why me? Why me? Why not me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Why can't I be great?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I see everybody else doing their thing. Why can't I do my thing?
Right. What you're not changing, you're choosing. Bottom line.
You always say that. That's like the favorite. What you don't change, you are choosing. That's correct. So it's possible, you know, you're worth it and we love you.
Bottom line, yeah. Amen. I couldn't agree anymore. Yeah. Sean, it was a pleasure having you on the show today.
I really appreciate it.
I really give you my condolences for you and your family, your grandma. I mean, I didn't know her personally. I've met her one time, but seems like it'd be a great lady.
She was.
So I know she got another angel up in heaven watching down on you.
I got a squad.
Let's go. So
ain't nothing coming too hard.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate you, brother. I love you.
Love you too,
and
man.
Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you
guys for tuning in to the We Do Recover show. We'll be back on next Tuesday at 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Thank you all. Appreciate you. Love you. If you need anything, feel free to dial in, hit either one of us up, message us or anything. We'll be more than happy to help you out.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.